Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the parable of the workers in the vineyard, as you have just heard read, under the theme this morning, Your Lord is Fair. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, first of all, I want to talk with our parents. Dear parents, I know that you have heard the following before. He got a bigger piece of cake than me. It's not fair. She gets to stay up later than I do. And that's not fair. He got more Christmas presents than me. It's not fair. You see, children want to be equal. They don't want their sister or brother or friend to get something that they don't have also. They have a sense of fairness for themselves. Children, adults are no better. Why did he get a pay raise at work and I didn't? It's not fair. Why do the neighbors have this fancy boat and all these toys and they get to go every weekend and enjoy themselves, but I'm here stuck in shoom in church on Sunday? Is that fair? Why, she's my age. And she doesn't seem to have any health problems at all. It's not fair. You mean to say that a man who owned a vineyard went out and hired workers who worked for 12 hours and he paid them $1? And he did the same for those who worked only for 1 hour? Why, that's not only unfair, that should be illegal. Yet, my dear friends, we hear this morning that your Lord is fair. You see, His fairness isn't based on our sense of fairness. His fairness is based on His grace. God's pay scale, if you will, contradicts our sense of rewards or payment. God is the employer who seeks you. He is the man who went to the marketplace and found workers to work in his vineyard. In other words, God is seeking you. We do not seek to work for him. We must always remember the words of our Lord Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Yet, at the end of the day, those men who worked in the vineyard and they bore the brunt of the heat of the day, they were paid the same as those who worked 1 hour. And what did they do? They grumbled. They complained. You see, the Jewish leaders always did the same. They grumbled about Christ and his gracious offer to all sinners. The Pharisees and the chief priests and the scribes, the Jewish people, and even many Christians today are just like Peter. Even Peter, in the chapter prior, had the very same thought, that he thought that he and his disciples, his fellow disciples, should actually receive more. After all, as Peter said, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Speaking of Jesus, and then Peter asked that ultimate question, "What then will we have?" No different than our children. "It's not fair. I deserve more. After all, Lord, I've been with you for these three and a half years. As my fellow disciples, we deserve more." My dear friends, you and I are no different than Peter, or the scribes, or the Pharisees, or the Jews, or any other Christian. We too become jealous. We become jealous when it seems that God is blessing others than we. Yet God is fair. The children just heard that. God deals with us fairly. You see, with God, there is no sense of injustice. Who of you here seated this morning can say that God was ever unjust toward you? If you look to the cross, yes, that's a rhetorical question. If you look to the cross, you know the answer. For each of us, we actually deserve no wage at all. You and I, we deserve a wage that will land us in hell. After all, the wages of sin is death. And it's not talking about physical death, it's talking about spiritual death. Yet what does the worker, what does the owner of the vineyard say to his workers? Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree to work for me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. You see, my friends, it comes down to this. God has never, ever promised you to give to you what you think you deserve. Actually, if God actually gave to us what we actually deserve, once again, the wages of sin is death. You see, all of our efforts, all of the work that you do for the church, all the work that you do for Jesus, well, all of that is about us, isn't it? And that's how many people see it. They think it's their efforts that will save them. It's their work for the church that will save them. It's what they do for Jesus, that's what will save them. And when it doesn't come out their way, when they don't get the little toys that they want, when they don't get the praise that they think they deserve, they grumble. And that grumbling reveals, not only in them, but in each of us, a serious problem. Sin. It's an unloving and unmerciful attitude. It shows that we are truly under the law, and that law reveals to us what we truly deserve. It reveals, my dear friend, that you have forgotten about the grace of God. For those of you who spell well, you know what that spells, don't you? The grace of God. You see, my friends, as the children just heard, the wages that God actually gives to us are very, very high. God is generous to all people. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Says the owner of the vineyard. That's like me coming to our farmers and say, you're using your John Deere the wrong way. I know it belongs to you, but you should do it this way. I don't have the right to say that. Neither do we have the right to say to God, God, you don't know what you're doing. You're being too generous to that person or to that person. You see, we must stop and realize, yes, that God is the only equal opportunity employer. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that He has amazing grace? Amazing grace for those who work only 1 hour. It's amazing grace that He too forgives them of their sin and that He gives them full payment. The work God gives to you is truly a reward. Being a Christian, my dear friends, is actually a privilege. But we as Lutherans sometimes, and I've seen this so often, and I even have done this myself, we want to take advantage of our religion, if you will. We want to take advantage of what we have learned and what we know. And we have this bad habit of placing ourselves above other people, thinking that we're more important in the church than the person who has just joined the church. But you see, being a Christian is really not a worrisome burden or a worrisome duty. But it is a happy, blessed service, no matter how long or how God chooses that you serve Him and your neighbor. There is no fuller, richer life than being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So the bottom line is this: we as the clay have no right to tell the potter what he is to do. We have no right to tell him that his grace is insufficient. We have no right to say to him, "Lord, I have worked all these years in the church, and where is my payment?" It comes back. It comes back once again that you truly are an unmerciful person, that you are not humble, and you must repent. You see, it comes down again to a wage question. A wage question in the kingdom of God. And again, must not be troublesome for us or to us. For in the kingdom there is no unemployment. And the wage level, yes, the wage level is actually out of this world. You see, my dear fellow workers, many are called into the vineyard, but few are humble enough. Few are humble enough who will actually deny themselves and deny any claim of any reward. It's in that humble service that Jesus will reward them, that He will give to them on that great last day, as your children has heard, a crown of life. And it's a crown of life that will never fade or spoil or tarnish in heaven. It is a payment that He has won for each of us. And it is a payment that He gives to each of us. And He gives freely. After all, Jesus is clear to us, isn't He? That He is the one who came to pay the ultimate price. We didn't pay the price. He paid the price for us. And since He has paid the price, then His wage is fair. His reward is great, and His reward is for each of you. And His reward once again will be given freely on that great last day. For He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb who has taken away your sin. At your baptism, you were put to death with Him, but rose to newness of life. As you come to this altar and receive His body and blood, you are receiving from Him the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of your faith, life and salvation. All great rewards that He continues to give to you, His means of grace. Yes, His means of grace. Abounding grace, abounding mercy, and a love for you that can only be described, my dear friends, by looking to the cross. And here at the cross is a love that is so deep and is so rich and is so rewarding that He freely gives to each of you. Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to Jesus indeed, for He is the very Lamb of God who will bring His reward and give to each of you freely. And in His name, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.